Blog Talk Radio.
Shall be no more. You have the man that takes you inside what goes on in the world of sports. He's in the dugout. He's in the clubhouse. He's right by the water cooler. He is everywhere you need him to be to let you know what's going on. And also, you listen to the movers and shakers in the world of sports. You are found the right place with the legendary Doc Stanley on Sports
and
Death.
And if I may say that the Sports In-Depth Nation is here. The Sports In-Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I am here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the straw that serves the drink is indeed here, and that's the incomparable Doc Stanley. Take it away, good Doc.
Two of the most profound and important people in my life. And there's another one on the line waiting, NFL Ed, and the lovely all-knowing Eileen. Introduce me in the show. And it's important to say these things at a time where the constant evidence of death at a rapid, daily, and any time during the day rate is evident. Larry the Legend Hardesty, greatest black, I don't like African-American term, sportscast in New York City radio, befriended me. And it was Larry Hardesty who started calling me Doc Stanley. I remember Larry up in the press room, legendary master square, and I went up and I said, "Sir, hi, my name is," he said, "I know who you are." He said, "You're Doc Stanley." That day on, from that moment on, people started calling me Doc Stanley. I was no longer Mel Stanley. I was a name that some people simply didn't know by. I remember walking through a up in Harlem through a corridor way. I was going through, I was down in the areas downstairs. I was walking in. Somebody screamed, "Like Doc Stanley!" And I said, "Hey, Doc." He had seen me working on boxing, heard me on Larry Hardesty. As Morgan said, that's where they saw us at. I was walking through the four-way. Larry, the legend Hardesty. Birthday, too. We want to celebrate his birthday July the 2nd, along with the first man ever to do 40-40 in baseball history. Willie Mays said, "If I knew it was such a big thing, I'd have done it myself." Jose Canseco, the day before, my beloved friend Fritz. On the line, too. Like I said, how I feel about them also. Ed, NFL Ed has a birthday coming soon. My beloved sister Teresa had a birthday on the 6th. Same birthday as Willie Randolph. I say happy birthday to the Hawk. Andre Dawson, our beloved Lady A. The other voice that you hear is the late L. Mooney Smith Jr. Wow. So when me and Marion friended and brought him in, an intermittent instrumental parts of his yesterday's show, he coined the term Positive Nation. One of his greatest lines is fully uninitiated. The classic line, point well taken. These are people who have points well taken in my life. Late Mel Smith Jr., legendary Larry Hardesty, incomparable NFL Ed, lovely all-knowing Eileen. And you know, you have few friends in life. Show him, thank God for him. Everybody in your corner. Dave Winfield. When I was planning to get married, the great Dave Winfield, who befriended me, took me down and set me in the corner. Legendary dugout of Yankee Stadium and the old legendary Yankee Stadium. Told me something I'll never forget. And he thinks he told me. He said, you, it's the most dynamite piece of ass in the world. You have to have somebody in your corner. These people were, are in my corner. Corner. One may be equated with that of Ali. Dr. Freddie Pacheco. Angelo Dundee. Houdini Brown. Ali. All gone. Never ever forgot. Doc Stanley, supposed to Blast Star Radio Trust and Government Network. The weather is balancing out with the sun. More madness. In some cases, though, it is madness. People are not adhering to the guidelines, the health measures, the restrictions that can help them from a physical health position. And so far now, with the laser in New York City, have gotten better. If else, well, it's may be the case. I'm Stanley Sports, that Block Talk Radio on the Trust and Government Network. And thank you for being with us here on another Sunday show. And I got to make sure for now on we're gonna be every Sunday for you. I've stepped back a little bit and gotten away, done a couple of side shows. So we're going to open up with our song of restitution, salute to God. And then me and NFL are going to talk about Tom Brady trying to get Randy Moss done retire and Cam Newton going where me and Ed for the longest time said was going to go, the New England Patriots. Wouldn't that be something if they wound it up back in the Super Bowl? And there's some things we're going to talk about, too, because they said there were some things of a positive nature with Brady or Newton coming to the let me bring Ed in here real quick, too, before I get into a prayer. You know, Ed, we talked about that for the longest time, and I open the show, all praise to Father God and his Son, our beloved Savior. You know, we talked about this, Ed, of finally getting there. I'm thinking, you know, how much was the Black Lives Matter movement probably making them finally making the movement? But again, Belichick's always been a very astute coach, and it's been said that, you know, and just dwell on it because I'm going to get into our opening prayer song. Newton brings a whole other dimension, not just as a passer, but as a runner. He makes things better offensively and defensively for the Patriots. A quick thought before we digest that, Ed.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's I hate to say because it's almost baseball time, but it's a home run for New England, in my opinion, you know. And these times that they be changing, as Bob Dylan used to sing, you know, with all that's going on. And you know, and then of course, New England is noted for being Patriots, and you know, Bostoners, or you know, it hasn't been, I guess, the most friendliest to black athletes, although it does like, you know, whoever they've gotten, but they're known for, you know, Carl Yastrzemski, you know, Tom Brady, and
Ted Williams.
Now, you know, and here comes this. Yes, Ted Williams. There you go. Great point. And so I'm kind of like, I'm not really excited because I'm a Jet fan, but I got to admit, you know, and this is the thing, Belichick is a very bright guy, you know. And I think, without a doubt, you're right. I mean, besides his passing, it's the run element that he's going to bring to the game. So it should be interesting for the Patriots. And then I think the only ones that are going to give Patriots a run for their money is Buffalo. You know, confident about that. I don't really have that much confidence in the Jets, you know, at this stage right now. But And here we go, though. Now we don't even have preseason games, correct?
So, yeah, well, you know what? I'll tell you something. Let's not – let me get over something. You know, the thing about Boston, too, now, and I thought about it yesterday. Dr. Stanley's supposed to be a Block Talk Radio, the Trusted Cover Network. NFL Ed is here. Hopefully we can get all-knowing Eileen to join us today, if not definitely next show. You know, the funny thing about Boston, I remember Willie O'Ree, and like I said, I've been blessed beyond what I deserve to comprehend by the good Lord, and meeting the Jackie Robinson of – hockey, and he told me, you know, it hit me kind of startling that he said Boston was the right place for him to be the first black hockey player. And I remember when we talked yesterday, me and my man Sam, who will have to get him on the show, you know, it was the Boston Celtics. I remember Isaiah Thomas said something, and it really hit me. And I got Dusty here to join us too. Hold on, Dusty, because I'm going to play an opening song, come at you. I remember Isaiah Thomas said something that hit me. You know, sometimes, you know, eyes wide shut. And they asked him, they were talking to him, and they said, you know, who was his favorite team growing up? He said, the Celtics. He said, why? He said, because they had all the black players. And then him, he said, wow, he's right. He's right. You had Sam Jones and Casey Jones in the backcourt, Dusty. You had Sam Jones and Casey Jones in the backcourt. You had Russell in the middle. You had Sat Sanders up front. And at one time, Auerbach also was the first coach to put five black players on the floor. Boston was the first team to draft a black player, and Boston was the first team to have a black coach when he made Bill Russell the player coach. And so, you know, you look at it's 6-1, a half dozen of another. And to Ed, and you, Dusty, and I want you guys to hold on a minute, I'm going to do the song. You know, they embraced Randy Moss tremendously. You know, I mean, they loved Randy Moss, you know.
Absolutely.
And they've had a good rapport with all their black players. And you know what that's all about, too? It's about Belichick. You know, Belichick is judging you by the content of your character, not the color skin. Gentlemen, let me play our opening song, and then we'll get back into talking some sports with you two guys. They're here. NFL Ed, Dusty, the indescribable, indestructible, Dusty, a little boxing. But opening... Let's do what our opening song is what I do, paying tribute to God and the fact that, wow, we're here. Doc Stanley, supposed to be Block Talk Radio on the Trust in God Radio Network. Gentlemen, hold tight.
There's nothing you could ever do that would
father asking how it's possible to love someone like you. It's 'cause you're mine. It's 'cause you're you. It's 'cause I'm loved. It's what I
Michael Bellamy of Brooklyn Independent Media, and you're listening to Doc Stanley of Sports in Depth on Blog Talk Radio.
And it's time for prayer, a quick one, and some sayings I get from my pharmacist, Lord Ingrid. Dear Lord, we thank you for another day. More importantly, have your will, have your way. We thank you for last night's laying down, this morning getting up, clothes on our backs, shoes on our feet, food on our table. And we thank this in the name of your darling Son, our Lord and Savior. All honor and glory to your holy name. Amen. And a couple of quick ones. Every day, a new beginning takes a deep breath, smile, and start again. Good morning. Let's pray for each other to have a day filled with happiness, health, safety, abundance, peace, and love. Good morning. Have a wonderful day. Prayers are like songs composed by our heart's desires, thoughts, emotions, and aspirations. And God enjoys listening to our prayers and constantly answers through simple but significant miracles. Remember, a busy life makes prayer harder. But prayer makes a life, a busy life, a lot easier. Good morning. Dr. Stanley, Sports in the Blog Talk Radio Trust and Government Network. And, you know, I was biting at the bit here when they first got the Cam Newton news, Ed. And it was sort of a pat on the back to you, us here at Sports in Depth, who talked about that's where we thought he was going, and that was the fit that worked. And it also a lot, Ed, was the mastermind. Not the deviousness, but somewhat the term to use, of Bill Belichick. And, you know, he's giving everybody else a chance, and when the smoke clears, you got nothing to say. You know, it's like Adidas with Michael Jordan. You know, I don't know if people know that Jordan went to Nike because his mother said, look, go and see what they have to hear. He's a big Adidas man. Went to Adidas, went to Nike and came back, went to Converse. Didn't like Converse from what I'm saying, because they had Dr. J, they had Larry Bird, Ted Bernanke and Magic Johnson. So therefore, he was kind of joining the team as not being, you know, the focus. So he went to Adidas and he said, "Hey, look, you know, I've talked to Nike, I've talked to Converse. You know, you guys are the sneaker I wore during college. And you're the best sneaker out there. So, you know, I'm ready to talk." Wouldn't make him an offer.
Yep.
Didn't have an offer. Wouldn't make him an offer. What's that song I think Connie Francis sung? Who's sorry now? Wow. But, you know, the thing we talked about too, Eddie, was that the dimension he brings now to them in the sense of there's certain ways you can't defend New England anymore, Ed.
Yeah. I thought he was a great athlete. The whole thing blew up when he took a knee down and he was trying to stand for something, and I think it was kind of unjust because he was.
Oh no, no, we're talking about Cam Newton though, not Kaepernick.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. I mean, I'm talking about Cam.
Yeah.
In Cam's case, but you're right. There was sort of a sense of reluctance, a sense of blackballing. Here's the guy we talked about too, Dusty, was the face of this franchise. Here's the guy who took them to the Super Bowl. Here's the guy who was the number one draft pick. Here's the guy who won the Heisman Trophy. And then he was out there. It reminded me somewhat, Dusty and Eddie, when Barry Bonds, I mean, I didn't understand what the Giants were talking about. They weren't going to re-sign the greatest player they ever had with the exception of Willie Mays.
Well, you see,
and then, hold on, Dusty. But you know what got me too, Dusty? That nobody even... No, came after Barry Bonds. I mean, he's a guy who's the all-time home run king. That guy, the most home runs in one season. Five, you know, his most seven MVPs, Dusty, and nobody even came at him, Dusty.
But you see, the thing is that you also got to deal with the realities of what's happening today. They're looking for a white home run hitter. You know, there was none around, but they didn't want to take the chance on hooking this guy up. And the same thing with, you know, you got to look at the realities. If I'm combining both correctly, you got to look at Cam Newton, who was supposedly, you know, media is a bitch, man. And, you know, when the blonde in the White House says fake news, sometimes it is fake news.
Oh, yeah.
And...
You know, what
and,
you're saying here, Dusty, is what Patrick Farrar told me.
Let me finish. And he,
I don't
want to
lose his thought, Dusty, like you know what. Okay, go ahead. Hurry up. I'm going to write it down. Go ahead, Dusty.
He was finished with football because of his injuries, and he failed to lead to get a championship, and he did this. But everybody forgot how he turned that freaking team with Rivera as a coach.
It was the face of the franchise, Dusty.
To a franchise. That's exactly what I'm saying. The franchise.
Yeah.
So then he was dumpable. Now, Belichick is a smart son of a bitch. He's a smart dude.
Dusty, watch your language. Your children are listening.
My children are, I was Long Island somewhere. What's his name? And Belichick being a smart, knowing that he lost his franchise to a mediocre team because they wouldn't, craft or not give Brady what he wanted, what he deserved, in my opinion.
Yeah, he never has. He never has, Dusty. The one thing you got to say about Kraft, he's paid nobody.
Shortchanged
anybody.
He's always shortchanged Brady, as far as I'm concerned. And Brady
No question, Dusty.
In my last 2 or 3 years that I want to play, because that's his target date in 2 years, let me go to a franchise that I'll get what I want, and maybe, with a big question mark, maybe I'll build it up to a contender. You know, so what happens...
Oh, no, that's already done. Yeah, Dusty, you're on the money. They were a contender already. They got him. They got Gronk coming back. You know, they're already contender, Dusty.
Right. And now... Belichick, I mean, Kraft is saying, "Oh shit, I masturbated a spaceman. I lost my man, so I got to get somebody." And of course, doing the homework, and with Belichick being a smart tactician, he's the ring general saying, "Hey, get this dude in here. This dude can carry, maybe even carry the Patriots at a higher level. I don't know about winning the championship, but at a higher level or keep them play championship level, you know.
No question about
this. This dude had setbacks in physical and all, but he's recovered and he's ready to go. Now, what's to the positiveness of Cam Newton, unfortunately, and oh my God, and I hate to say this, but the fortunate thing is the fact that this pandemic has jeopardized the start of seasons. So that gives Cam Newton more time to heal.
Exhibition games.
Right, and more time to heal. Look, I remember to intersperse another sport, Keith Thurman, he got hurt in a car accident. He came back too soon. Oh, my Lord.
You had to bring up boxing, huh?
I had to, and because it's a perfect example. And he comes back, and then it caused him 2 years before he came back, and he almost got killed by Josecito Lopez. Now I look at Spence, horrific car accident. He was coming back in June. This June, I haven't seen him. So with the pandemic, it's giving him more time to heal those injuries.
And that's it. At the same time, stay relevant.
Right. And the thing is that here Cam says, okay, with this pandemic, there's more time to heal, more time to practice, more time to read the Patriot playbook, more time to involve myself with Belichick and his philosophies and get to know the dudes, you know, and I'm ready. So this is basically a win-win-win-win situation as far as I'm concerned for the Patriots.
Like Ed said, it wasn't what the Jets wanted to hear. And your point you brought up, too, about the press, and you're right, you know, because, you know, like a guy doesn't mean that he, you know, he's wrong. 2 and 2 is 4 by anybody said. And then the president, even though he always claims it's against him. But I remember one of the things that Patrick Ferrar, one of the great PR men for the Nets and one of the great sportscasters in New York, Jersey, and New Jersey sports history, and played at Ohio State under Willie Hayes. He said one of the things that bothered him, it wasn't just the fact that Shanahan abused and used and got rid of
RG3,
but at the same time, he sent out negative lies and stories about the guy.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
This is what you were talking about. Yeah,
you
ran a game on the dude, man.
Gentlemen, we want to take a time out to remember the Negro Leagues. I wish we could have got Jimmy on here. I'll get him in. You know, they had their 100th year anniversary. The Navy, you know, people talk about, you know, now is not, some of them are minority, and now is not the right time. Well, you know, after 110 years, the Navy has finally had one black female fighter pilot. Remarkable. I mean, this is the last branch of the military to take blacks. And when you went in, you had to be either a cook or a valet. And it's taken them 110 years to finally get a black female firefighter. We want to salute also.
What's her name?
I got to get her name. Mahomes, he signed a crazy contract, the largest contract in the history of the NFL. Well, he deserved it. And me and Ed talked about that, too. He got a bad deal. In that playoff game up in Kansas City where they made two crazy calls that took that game away from him. But anyway, he signed the biggest contract. Looking for Danny Stiles to join us. You probably heard already, Dusty, that Chapman has tested, and you too, Ed.
Yeah,
Chapman has tested for the virus.
I saw on ESPN. I said, God, I mean, what the hell is going on here? He tested positive, and he supposedly, the limited spring training, he was looking like a rocket, man. And all of a sudden, boom, picks it up. No, but, you know, but you got to understand something about these crazy freaking dudes who are rolling in millions and millions of contracts, working on where the hell are they hanging out, man? Where are they going? Are they quarantining like everybody's supposed to do, you know, or staying home? But where did they pick it up? I mean, I don't know. And then if there is training camp, I mean, you got the doctors and the medical people there watching their every move. So,
but you know, Justin, Ed, you know what's hurt this whole thing? Two things, common sense and common. But with the influx of the warm weather. People just, you know, Ed, they just let their guard down. I mean, they lost it. You know, they just lost it.
Look, you got to understand guidance and leadership. Well, we got a misleadership coming out of the White House. He says, open the beaches and the clubs, and you can hang out. And if you do get sick, take a little Lysol and do this and that. drink this and drink that, of which a lot of people following his dictates died. So, and now, so take off your mask and hang out. You saw the films in the beaches and in the Fire Island just recently, man, picked up pandemic cases, man. I say, Jesus Christ, there's no lockdown. You know, I'm probably older than you guys. Throughout my years,
Dusty, you're a vampire. You're 1,206 years old. Cut the crap, okay? Cut the crap.
I've never in my life, throughout all these years of diseases and life and death, seen such a disease that is global, that is worldwide. Countries are locked down, you know, and then in comes a leader with a misleader of misinformation. Open up the schools, open up this, everything is fine.
I'm listening to the news now, and Governor Cuomo, I tell you, if Cuomo was running for president, he'd win this thing hands down. And he keeps saying, you know, the president keeps talking about things that, beyond the fact he doesn't know about, he can't do. He can't stop the funding of certain situations. And he's talking about not sending money to the schools. And,
blackmailing the schools.
It's just, and I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again. You know, the whole problem that the world has is Donald Trump. Through his ignorance, through his racist mindset, didn't want to adhere to the guidelines that Obama had set down and already implemented. He destroyed them. And this is the reason why the whole world is having a problem. Yeah. And I'm saying to those people out there, all y'all who didn't know, you didn't like the candidate, so you didn't vote. If you didn't do shit then, don't say shit now, because you didn't vote against this guy, then you helped to put him in.
Well, you know, the thing is, we all got our hands up dirty, but the thing is that, hey, Obama leaves him a manual, a 79-page manual, warning him and preparing him for the impending pandemic. He throws it away.
Right, yeah.
He destroys the WHO, which is worth her. I'm going to do my own thing. His own thing, look at the lives. So what happens, we who are in the sports sideline and we live and breathe sports of all nationalities, of all tastes, like I said, I'll sit down and watch two Beatles fight each other for the Beatles championship.
Two roaches. Cut the Beatles. It's smaller than that. Black Flag against Raid. Undisputed Road Championship. You've probably done it already.
I'm a little sophisticated. I'll go with the Beatles. But
Paul and Ringo?
But the fact of the matter is that we have nothing. I mean, Bob Arum turned around and had some empty house fight cards. I mean, my God, where did he find these guys from? Some farm there?
Eddie, I'm thinking about this, Eddie. I'm thinking about this because they're talking about now the players can't shower in the clubhouse. They can't sign autographs. And you know, the thing about having fans is the adulation and screaming is going on the field. Ed, I'm thinking it'll never be the same, Eddie. Because if you bring a vaccine, a lot of people are going to be skeptical, Ed.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then how are you going to get this vaccine moving and going?
Right.
It is not going to happen. I think, Dusty, you might agree too. This is not. We're not going to see this thing being administered to children going to school.
Like
I got smallpox vaccination. I don't see it happening until
especially in the black and brown areas. You can forget about it. I mean, this is going to get top shelf before we get it. And then the fact of the matter is that promoters in the desperation are still talking about a second Tyson Fury and Deontay somewhere in August.
I said, but well, where is the clearance?
That's it. Maybe they have it on Pluto. Well, that's it. Well, you've heard it too. Dr. Danny Exposing at Block Talk Radio, Trust and God Network. And real quickly, want to look at my opening line here. Want to say happy birthday to a horde of birthdays this month. My sister Teresa on the 6th. Ed's got one coming at the end of the month. Notable people. Jose Canseco and Larry Hardesty on the 2nd. Fritz, executive over at NYU on the 1st. My cousin Sylvester's today. Barry Bonds has a birthday on the 24th. Andre the Hawk Dawson, when he retired from baseball, it was the 10th, and our beloved Lady A the same day. Only
Andre
Willie Mays and Andre
man,
Dawson, and hold his
name
baseball, I got to get him on the show, was, had hit over 300 home runs and sold over 300 bases. Also, we wanted to salute also the fact that Negro League's 100th anniversary, Brady trying to get, now he's got Kronk, he wants to get Randy Moss to come out of retirement. Cam Newton goes to New England. Baseball, a 60-game schedule. Wow. And you know what I heard too, Dusty, as the great Timothy F. Smidley would say, Eddie, my buddy from Cleveland. You know, Timothy F. Smidley came from a very well-to-do family. He was the first guy. We were talking about Gale Sayers and Leroy Kelly. And I said, Sayers is better. And that pilot, too, the U.S. Naval pilot, the first black female pilot, Lieutenant Madeline Swiggle, recently completed the service tactical airstrike training program, and Navy announced family Friday, so she's going to be the first. I'm trying to get Gerald, too. And I just love to thought that quick. What we're talking about. Yeah, there was talk about and you've heard it too, Dusty, because you know Consuela and Henrique and my man Hector down there with the Ouija board probably told you that you always act like, you know, you just got it off the, but it's the Ouija board people. Trinidad and De La Hoya. I heard De La Hoya is in training. He wants to do Trinidad De La Hoya too.
Yeah, there's rumors. You know, it's a psychological approach, okay? Because of the fact that we have gone to the back burner, okay? Boxing in the number one. The other sports, because they are franchises, and these guys are getting paid their buku buck salaries while they're going through the motion of training and getting ready for a 60-game season. What's happened with the boxers? Nothing. You know, I feel a lot of compassion for the fighters, especially the preliminary guys who are starting their careers. Maybe the kid is 7-0.
You got a lot of nerve being a boxing connoisseur, a boxing genius, an elite fighter yourself, and then you've got sympathy only for the boxers?
No. But you see, the thing is that let's take Chapman. He has was $195 million for 4 years, and he got the pandemic. But he's still getting paid. Here you have Joe Schmo.
That's your point. That's your point right there. Because if the boxers don't fight, they don't get paid. That's the
exactly.
Example. These guys, you know, and that was one of the big stipulations they had. Dr. Tanks wasn't at Blog Talk Radio on the Trust in God. I'm hoping Gerald can join us here. Our author, he just got a new book out, too. But you're right. Sports, that was one of the big things, too. They were fighting about, how were they going to get paid and all that kind of stuff. But the point you bring up, Justin, was they were talking about how they were going to get paid. Boxers ain't getting paid. You're right. Unless they're fighting, they aren't getting paid. And something hit me, too. I looked at a magazine, Ed and Dusty, the other day. It's been 4 years now since Ali passed away.
Oh, my God. I thought it was longer. I mean, really, I have to be, respect to him, I thought it was longer. But
look
at this. It's not really that long, really.
Well, I'm going to tell you something, though. My uncle said he was talking to a cousin of ours years ago, and my cousin said, Ed, and Dusty said, you don't mind dying, but you stay dead so long.
Oh, my God. Oh my, that is funny. It's true, man.
He said, you don't mind dying, but you say dead so long. I got another call joining us now. 718-249-6478. Is this Jump Shot Jonesy? And we're looking for my friend and hero,
Gerard Laverne. One of the great artists. He's got a book out for a while. I hope he can join us here for a minute or two. I thought I got Jump Shot here. Jump Shot, are you with us? Eddie, going back to football, it seems, though, it's the one sport we're going to get, if we get it now, in its entirety.
If this pandemic, but if you listen to Fauci, who's the supreme medical doctor.
No, I mean, I'm just saying right now.
Overruling.
It's the one sport that hasn't been circumvented just yet.
Right.
Just
so
yet.
Far.
I mean, the possibility is there. But, you know, we still can look, Ed, we still can look forward to a full season. Ed, your thoughts on that?
Yeah. I'm praying. Okay. And I think we all need it. America needs it. The world could probably use it.
Psychologically,
It becomes more and more popular sport, even though it's not the soccer that the world is totally in love with. And I was a soccer player in high school, so I love soccer. But I'm just saying, here we go. Very hoping. And I'm also, praying, as you do, Mel, and, trusting God that it would be a great thing in the fall. It'd be great if some of the kids can go back to school and the parents can get a break. My godson, he is just he's a great kid and he's doing well. But you know what? He's lonely. He doesn't get to interact. They're missing all that. And besides the sports. And he loves playing football and playing sports with me. But you think about it. It's a hardship. No?
Yeah. Oh, my Lord.
I mean, you couldn't wait to go to school and hang out with your friends.
Doc, are you guys got your screen on? There's a big fire at one of the U.S. Naval flat tops in San Diego. Oh, my God. It's destroyed.
Keep us posted on that, Dusty. As I tell everybody about sports in depth, I'm bragging, and I'm bragging, boasting, and I've said this about sports in depth, and let me go to the line, and I say, and with the in-depth knowledge and diverse intellect of Doc's iconic posse, sports in depth is too the world in depth. Dusty just gave me the inside that I remember. It was here on Sports in Depth that we learned about Bin Laden being taken out by Obama.
Exactly.
Our man Sea Wings was here. So there's intellect of my posse here is beyond just that of balls and strikes and jump shots and picks and goals scored, whether it be in football or football around the world. But the in-depth knowledge here is just these are very intellectual people. And I think people sometimes forget. And Jackie Gleason talked about the intellect of comics and also the intellect of people in sports, because you got to be on top of things. And you look at most of your college guys, they go to college. But my crew here, Dusty, Lady A, Ed, NFL Ed, All Knowing Eileen, Danny Allstrike, Styles, Jump Shot Jonesy, the Hoopster, these are people of renowned intellect, and they are what shaped me. You know what I mean? Because if you haven't got somebody to throw the ball to, you haven't got somebody to pass the ball to, haven't got somebody to get on base, doesn't work. So I'm immensely proud of him. He stays there. Dusty reads everything. He reads the back of cereal boxes, matchbooks, everything, So
it's devastating from my point of view over here. It's, the ship, it might be lost because this is a terrific fire that I don't know how the hell the San Diego Fire Department is going to put this out. We got the Navy boats out there, fireboats and everything, but this is something that's going to take a long time. But anyway, it's insane. The Bonham Ridge, that's one of the famous flat tops of the Navy. But anyway, let's go back to what we were talking about. Yes.
Yeah, I think, Gerald, are you here with us, Gerald?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah.
Is Gerard?
I'm here.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm here.
Gerard Laverne Hunter, my friend, my hero. And, gentlemen, we have a distinguished author with us, among a horde of other things. But we're going to talk a little about your book right now. Good to have you back. Good to have you. Can we talk about the book?
Sure. By all means, you can.
Go ahead. Come on.
Well, the book is, it's funny. It was first started 30-some-odd years ago. And I thought
really?
I needed then. Yeah, I started writing it in 1983, and
wow.
It got published it didn't get published until 1992. It didn't take me that long to write it. It took me once I got it in.
No, to get a publisher, I guess.
That's what it was.
It took
8 years from 84, once I got it typed and was able to send it out, from 1984 to 1992 to get it published, which was crazy. And what's so astonishing about it was all the books were talking about, all the publishers were talking about it not being right for their list. Whatever it was, whatever that list was, and
right.
I come to find out that the list to them was they didn't think black people would read it.
Yeah,
Mind you.
I thought about this the other day too. Yesterday, Gerard, Dusty, I remember they told Bill Cosby that a show with prominent black people wasn't going to work. You know, you didn't have them living in the projects. You didn't have them living from payday to paycheck. It wouldn't work. It became the number one show on television. You know, systematic racism that, first of all, to not want you to publish your book and then not to think that black people will read the book. Well, here's a thought. Well, what about the fact that maybe white people will read the book?
Now, I'm going to tell you what's funny. Nowhere in the book that it says for black people only.
Okay.
this wasn't Jim Crow South. You know what I mean? It wasn't segregated. You know what I mean? It never said this is only for black people. It was a black character telling a black experience through fiction, but realistic fiction.
Right.
But I've had more white people read the book and love it just as much as I had black people read it. But now, a funny story about this is that it took me 8 years to get published, and I got rejected about 40, I think it was 42 times in 8 years.
Publishers do turn around and put in their own personal quirks. Like, for example, a dude can write a book, male or female can write a book, and then all of a sudden you get it's on the New York Times bestseller list. All of a sudden, bam, it's a hit because they take it. This is what I think I'm reading from your comments, and they'll blast it and put it, and everybody says, "Oh man, it's on the bestseller list, New York Times. Let's get the book." But others with their quirks and their personal or racial quirks will try to kill it, reject, and you know, because I consider myself a pretty well-rounded person that can write. I got 70 pages of a story that I'm trying to write, and I haven't gotten past the next page. But I mean, I'm saying, I wonder who the hell is going to pick this shit up and endorse it and push it, or do I need a ghost writer to help me put it through? But it's when I used to send press releases to editors and dealing with some problem and some situations in minority communities, the guy would say, "Oh shit, East New York, the dancing frogs of Puerto Rico. Nah, there's a bullshit shit can." Boom. I never get any reporter to respond. So it's a systemic endemic racism of stopping people of color to write. You know, something of color that everybody could enjoy and read and enjoy. But
Dusty, I've got a question here, and then we'll go back to Joe. Do you think that in a book written in your other language, I mean, besides your gibberish language, but really, do you think a Latin author with a book written in Spanish would have the same difficulties of a black author writing a book in English? I'm thinking because the editorial will be done more so by another minority. So is there a better chance?
Absolutely. You'll find the same or maybe worse.
Really?
Problem, even if it's written in Spanish, but because you have Spanish publishers who will look at that and make a determination based on their own psychological or philosophical realities and say, no. This no, we shit can this shit. You could I've read books from Spanish authors that for years they struggled until finally somebody says, okay, or the author himself has gone into the bank and borrowed money to publish the book himself. And it turns out to be some of these things have been made into movies after being rejected by publishers who are gods of the writing field. I mean, and you have to depend on their attitude, on what they feel like, you know. And of course, they'll determine whether you can make it or not. I mean, sometimes they. Yeah, it is published. I read a book. I read a story of a dude from El Barrio who wrote three stories, but he's Puerto Rican, but he wrote them in English. Those are great books. Three of them. He wrote a series of Life in El Barrio. Three of them. But if I wasn't curious enough to look at or go to Barnes and Nobles and find the book, who the hell would read them? But they were there. They were there, and to me, I thought they were great books. But it determines the publisher who will push them, who will say, hey, this is good reading. Put it on the bestseller list on the New York Times. Once you see New York Times bestseller, people are going to purchase the book.
They're
going to
read it. Joe, this is the 25th anniversary edition of the book?
But you want
Yeah.
25th.
Uh-huh. Now, can you tell us what the core of the book is about what made you write the book, everything?
It was about two young men growing up in Mount Vernon High School. I mean, Mount Vernon, New York. It's on basketball.
I have a headset on.
Because I do that for fair play and structure and also for lessons. And like I said, it's fiction, but I would say 99.9% of the people who read it, obviously everybody who reads it, thinks it's a true story.
Right.
It's written. I mean, because it hits the heart of things. And I use real life places like Mount Vernon High School and
right.
different things of that nature. But the way it's written was basically to help young men, particularly young men of color, to make better choices. And again, it's for everybody. And like the book is in China, the book is in South Korea, Germany, is in. Now it's in these places, even though I got rejected by other authors, by publishers the way they did. But what I did do was I had said to myself, I said, well, if they won't come to me, I'll go to them. Meaning, if the bookstores won't publish my book, I said to myself, I said, when the book is published, I didn't say if, I said, when the book is published, I'm going to make it so that schools will get.
You got to do the legwork.
And so I added essay questions in the back of the book.
Mm.
And the essay questions were a good door opener for conversations with parents and students, parents and children, and teachers with students. So the book has a lot of teachable moments in it. And then what I also did was to catapult it even further, I hired a curriculum specialist to make my book into a curriculum.
Wow.
And so,
man.
So
that's
I have a series of books. Yeah, I have a series of books. It's called the Hero Book Series. And it's a series of four books. Yeah, it's a series of four books. Now, I have a website, theherobookseries.com. It's called theherobookseries.com. And you can see the first three books that's on there. The fourth book, I'm still in production with it. And, it became a powerful movement for me. For me to get rejected for 8 years, and then now for me to even have the book still out, still going strong, and even getting stronger, and then to put a full curriculum behind it.
Right.
I have a workbook for students, I have a teacher's guide for teachers, and also have an assessment piece so that teachers can see how far they've come. I even have a pre-test where teachers can see where the students are before they use the workbook, and then they can see where they are afterwards.
Yo, what we're going to do too? Send me that that website on my WhatsApp. We'll keep you here in the show. In fact, we'll have you back next week to join us again.
Okay.
I think, hold on a minute, did that Danny Styles with us, Danny?
Yeah, that's Danny Styles.
Hey, what's the inside scoop of... okay, listen, hey, cut the kapaz. It's all English here, buddy, right? Let's cut it out, okay? It's all English here, okay? Danny, what's the scoop on Chapman? You know, urine thing, what's happening? How bad is it, and what's the word that you've heard?
I heard from yesterday from his brother and his pops that he has mild symptoms and that he's okay. But it's that he just that the team is taking precaution and they don't want to,
you know, training.
Jeopardize anybody else. So what they did is they shipped him out until, you know, he gets he's okay. Well, Major League rules states that you have to have two negative tests in order for you to be able to come back to the team. But most likely he you know, he infected a couple of other people, a couple of other teammates.
Well, that's the alarming thing about this whole thing, man. It's just, you know, like I said, I just think about, you know, it could have been circumvented, knucklehead at the top there, and the residue of his reluctance, his stupidity, his racism has been, because, you know, gentlemen, we're people that look at sports here. And it's just, you know, if football doesn't factor and straighten out, I mean, the reality of the situation here is, and the guy talked about that today, is that, you know, the fans, and you're going to have some fans that are not going to keep the mask off to come to the game. You're going to have some guys drinking, and all, you know, the cheering is, everything is centered on the athlete. I mean, you know, here's a question. I'll shoot everybody with this question. Let's start with you first, Gerard. Are we ever going to be able, really? I mean, the thing that's going to work is that television now will become as big or bigger than ever. And you're thinking, so now me, Dusty, and Gerard, and Eddie, so instead of going to the game and spending $60 a park, we spent $300 worth of tickets. We're going to buy $400 worth of beer. And now we don't have the crazy expenses to pay. But the point is, you know, Mr. Hoover, do you see fans ever? I mean, how can fans come back, Gerard?
Well,
in your estimation.
For one, it depends on how this virus is. That's number one. But it also depends how much of a hit it's going to be with fanless games. That's going to be the telltale. I mean, because right now, you're going to get a lot of people that's going to watch, probably. You know what I mean? Well, I say this. You're going to get a lot of people that's going to watch baseball right now. But now, and I think you're going to get a lot of people that's going to watch basketball. Football is going to be the turnkey, because now I'm understanding that they're going to do the Black National Anthem as well. So if it gets to a point to where people get turned off by that because they don't want to see that or whatever, then they may just tune in first quarter or mid fourth quarter to where the Nielsen ratings will go up while the game is on, all right? But now advertisers in some ways can make bank off of this. Why? Because
Dusty, when the last time you heard that term, make bank. Is that old slang, Dusty? Make bank?
That's right. I know exactly what he's talking about.
I'm old school because you'll have more eyeballs on the television, so that might work. But in terms of like ticket sales and all that kind of stuff, stadium revenue, that's where. And then let's be honest. Look at Golden State. They just built. I don't know how many buildings they put into that stadium.
Exactly.
That Chase Center, and that thing is brand spanking new and brand spanking empty. And how about the SoCal place over?
Yeah.
Over for the Rams and Chargers, brand spanking
exactly.
New might be brand spanking empty. So you're gonna take some hits on that. So at some point, they're gonna encourage fans to come, but they may do it like they're doing in Jacksonville, 25%, and everybody wears a mask, and then maybe.
Hey, gentlemen, what about this? What about this? Now, hold on. What about you bring the fans back? Now this is crazy. Doc Sandy said it first. Free vaccine. When the vaccine comes out, free vaccine. Could that work, gentlemen?
Oh, yeah.
Dusty, Eddie.
That's going to happen.
The fact of the matter is, Doc, let's just be real about this. They are experimenting with a vaccine that they hope, they think, they assume.
A, B, C, and D, all of the above, Dusty?
All of the above will be
already.
The cure-all. Let me finish this thought. This country, because of the blonde Hitler in the White House, has been turned into a leper colony, and everybody is getting sick. This stuff is in the air. That's why they tell you wear your goddamn mask. They had, the other day I read something very comical and stupid, how some people think. They had what was called, what they labeled it, and they sold tickets, a pandemic party.
Hello.
Okay? They had a pandemic party. And from that pandemic party, a lot of people tested positive. They're in the hospital now because they promoted a pandemic party with no mask.
Oh, yeah, and what I'm saying to you, Dusty,
you have to understand. No, let me finish. What you have to understand is that we will never be the same from this pandemic virus.
Like 9/11.
The misdirection. Is it going to stop?
Hold on.
We don't know. Some people say the end of the year we'll be free and clear. But then again, saying when it comes back, it's going to come back stronger than now. How the hell is it going to be stronger when it's already killing close to 200,000 people?
Okay, now who's saying no? Who said no?
I'm saying no, Doc. Yo,
no?
Listen, they have.
Go ahead, Danny. Go ahead, Danny.
They have a vaccine right now.
No, they don't.
They're not. They have a vaccine. The problem right now is logistically how to get it worldwide. In other words, the problem is right now, if you have a vaccine, who's going to get it first? Plus,
but
you have
they don't
a lot of,
have it. It's
they
not
do
problem.
Have
that's
it.
A,
just, but Danny. Good.
Okay,
but
go
their
ahead.
Way is,
I mean,
listen, they have the vaccine. The problem is right now that you have to get the whole world up on it logistically. How are you going to distribute? In other words, how are you going to distribute to, the places of Uganda? And then on top of that, you have the political point of view that a lot of people think that that's just like the that's they're going to inject some kind of
that's the point I'm thinking that you brought up too, Danny. That how many people are not going to trust the vaccine? If you look at the history of the smallpox, the Tuskegee Airmen situation, the historic facts known that people have done that. You're right. Who's going to trust it?
So that's
guys,
the problem. Plus,
there is no vaccine. They're experimenting on that. And they haven't tested on anybody.
Exactly.
They say that they haven't. They're working on it. I'm telling you.
No, I'm telling you.
They
have the vaccine. And
they have. And if they have a vaccine,
okay, I'll be leaving shortly.
Which I don't believe.
Let my arm go.
I don't believe it.
Let my arm go. Thanks a lot.
They have
okay.
the vaccine.
I'll call you when I get there.
And,
okay.
And they've proven it to have like 10,000 people already. And it cleared the FDA trials. Now, don't forget. Different countries have different rules on how they proceed with the drug, with the drug administration. In other words, the same drug that you get here is not the same drug that you're going to get in Germany. Don't forget, also, you have a lot of religious problems that are causing. A lot of the Muslims are probably going to say, no, we're not going to take it because Allah said not to take it. A lot of the Catholics are going to say, no, Jesus.
You're absolutely right.
Gentlemen, hold on. What I need to do real quickly is let Marvin do this, and we come back to it. Gentlemen, you know what, man? You guys, Gerald and Joan, Eddie, man, you guys make me look like a prophet, man. Because I said, no, ain't nobody talking about a long drive to right field, a 52-yard run. Once again, it shows, like I said, man, that with the in-depth knowledge and diverse intellect of Doc's iconic posse, Sports and Death is to the world. And right now, you guys just went to the world. Hold on. Let me throw Marvin Gaye in here. We'll be right back. Mr. Gaye has this to say before we go. I know you don't want to leave people on our way. Mr. Gaye, please. And there's a point about
Bobby
the
Gay,
hey, the word is where his words live on, Mr. Gay.
Who really cares? Save a world in despair. Who really cares? There'll come a time.
There'll come a time
when the world won't be singing.
When the world won't be singing.
Flowers won't grow.
Flowers won't grow. No.
Bells won't be ringing.
No bells
won't be ringing.
Who really cares?
A black, brown skin, Oriental, an Italian, or
who's willing to try?
A Brazilian,
who is willing to try?
Save a world.
Save a world.
They're working on
destined.
Worldwide that they don't have by
mountains.
When
I look at the world,
we're working on a mountain.
When I look at the world,
but we still don't have it, and we have not given it to anybody.
It fills me with sorrow.
But who's lying to who?
Little children today.
I've been glued.
Are they gonna suffer tomorrow?
I go by what I read and read.
Really suffer tomorrow.
Am I being misled?
Oh,
I don't think
shame.
So. Well,
what
then if I'm being misled, I gotta be the biggest fool going.
Such a bad way to live.
Such a
MSM, bad way to live.
The research of my go. YouTube. All of the print, all the press conferences, all the announcements.
We can't stop
when
living.
We can't
including
stop
the blonde hair in the White House misleading the people.
No,
you know.
Live.
And then who drank life stolen and died. Who's going to hold him? Are they going to hold him accountable? But there is a vaccine. They don't have a vaccine. They're
live
working on a vaccine. They're experimenting on the end of the vaccine. And they feel that it could probably when they have to trust in that vaccine. And if they
if they say
they'll go back to the laboratory, go back to the drawing board and find out if they add more strength to the vaccine. You and I are not gonna get it in the next 10 years. Because it's gonna become political. Ethnically, I'm German, and you're Italian. The vaccine has to work for you and me, and nothing to do with our bloodline. Okay? It has to work for the black in the ghetto. It has to work for the Latino in the barrio. In overall, what do you think? We have
okay,
the,
gentlemen, let's continue. Dusty, Danny,
yes.
I left off. Go ahead.
Okay.
Continue, Ralph.
Well,
Hold on real quickly. I got Ed and Gerald here, too.
Yeah.
Gentlemen,
what I'm trying to tell
thoughts.
You is
so we'll get back to Dusty
yes.
and Danny.
Yes.
Hold on, Dusty. Gerald?
Wait a minute.
Yeah, I'm here.
No,
I got about five more minutes, okay?
Okay, well, listen, if you got to run, we'll catch you next week. Before you go, give us some quick thoughts on this before you leave.
Sure. No, I mean, what was the question again? Was about the vaccine?
Well, about
yes.
the vaccine. I mean, now Dusty was saying, Danny was saying that we're going to have problems because some people are not going to want to take the vaccine. It's
absolutely.
Not going to be the same vaccine in Germany that it is in Switzerland. The reactions in Brazil are going to be different in New York. I mean,
it's
a mess, Gerald.
It's going to be all kind. I mean, I'm sure what's going to happen too. You're going to have that. What you said, Doc. Also, you're gonna have a faction of people who are gonna believe in the vaccine and gonna be fighting over it.
Right. Exactly.
Right. So you're gonna have people that's gonna fight against it, right? It's gonna say don't take the vaccine because there's stuff in it. Da da da. So you're gonna hear all kinds of conspiracy theories. That's it, especially with Bill Gates involved in it. So you're gonna have all kinds of stuff that's gonna be involved in that. Then you're gonna have some people that's gonna want the vaccine and gonna be fighting over it. So you're gonna have a problem. You're gonna have a problem on all
that's
types of levels.
That's the problem right now that they're facing. Is the distribution.
of the vaccine.
Oh, yeah.
Not the vaccine.
What I'm trying to tell you guys, I don't know whether...
Dusty, no, you got to say your classic line. What you're trying to get us to see, Dusty. Come on, baby, get the line right. What you're trying to get us to see. Get your line right, baby. Go ahead, Dusty.
Is that they claim they have a vaccine, but it is not the... It doesn't have the potential, the strength to cover this pandemic. Now they're talking about how best. Now they're still experimenting, for God's sake. They're trying it on whomever. But if it's not giving them the strength of protection, they're still working on it. Now, you mentioned Germany and Japan and all that. Yes, it's true. People religiously or whatever, they're not going to take this bullshit. What happened in Borough Park the other day? There was a funeral of one of them rabbis. And the cops were called to disperse. And they had a war in Borough Park because the Jews says, this is our religion. You have no right to disperse us. This is how we bury one of our rabbis. So
yeah, but then you want to blame it on Trump. You want to blame it on Trump that that's not happening.
I'm not blaming anything on that idiot.
Yes, you
I'm
did. You said
you.
That the guy, the orange guy with the hair in the White House.
Well, because he's a goddamn Hitler. Don't be telling me.
No, he's not.
Let's not get on my bad side because I'm telling you what's happening. He has destroyed this goddamn country. Now, the sad thing is that I think he's going to win re-election again. That's what I'm scared of. But what you got to understand that if he had done what he had done, what he was supposed to do, when Obama left him the booklet on the incoming pandemic, maybe, we would have been better off. But now they have struggled, despite him, to come up with this vaccine. It's still on the experimental stage, folks. They may be trying on some people. I don't know. But you got to deal with the gives and takes and wants and no and not wants of different countries. In Easter, we had the Easter Mass from the Pope. That freaking church was empty. The five parishioners, because this garbage has gone global. I'm old enough to remember that if there was a pandemic, a disease, it didn't affect the entire country, the entire world. Look at Dominican Republic, Brazil, Puerto Rico, all them people, they're dying. China, Japan, Rome, Germany, France. This is killing all of us. And the fact of the matter is that they did not work on the vaccine to offset this damn thing when it was killing
because
people.
Obama didn't give them the book, right? But that's what
Obama,
saying,
Obama gave him the book. Who told you that he didn't give them the book? Obama gave you the book.
No, but he should have given the book to the whole world. Like that, none of this would have ever happened.
No. When a president leaves,
come on, man.
When a president
Danny, come on now. You know, let's not go back at Obama. Obama left everything. This is your guy. Let's call a spade a spade. Obama left everything in place. This goes beyond Trump. This goes beyond Trump because Obama faced both houses. And told him to implement this program. So this is no Trump is not the only villain here, but you got to also blame the legislature, the Senate, the House. They did not listen to what Obama told them to do. I mean, and the people around Trump got to say, hey man, you know,
if you look at the president,
who's doing that for? So the fault lies here. Nothing falls on Obama in this case, Danny.
Exactly.
He didn't drop the fly ball. He didn't miss the cutoff, man. Okay. Or everything on this here.
He turned around
is the guy in the White House.
He gave Trump the entire book, 79-page manual on the incoming pandemic, plus what to do. This blind Hitler in the White House discarded everything Obama did. That hatred that
and so did the rest of the world.
Oh, and the rest of the world, he had nothing to do. One president passes on to the next president. The next president
you're being clear. How could the rest of the world discard what they didn't know?
Exactly.
Trump was the guy who was supposed to deliver the message. The message that didn't kill, the message that killed the message.
Exactly.
And we see any other way,
there's
something wrong here.
Before it came here to the U.S., and it's Italy, it was... inundated, and in Spain, it killed almost everybody in Spain.
Yeah, but what are you saying, Danny? These people didn't know that Obama had sent this, had given this to this guy. Obama's thing five, six years ago was for this to be started here and then sent to the rest of the world. It didn't get sent to the rest of the world because the guy destroyed the plane.
You want to blame this thing on Trump when in reality...
Danny, we're not trying to blame this on Trump. We all blame this on Trump. And if you don't see it that way, there's something wrong. There's something wrong here, Danny. You're my man. I love you. But if you don't see where the fault lies, something wrong here.
What's up with Brazil? Brazil is going crazy, too, down there. What's going on in Spain?
Danny, we can put no blame on nobody else but
Trump.
We can put no blame on nobody else but the United States. And the United States and Trump is all in one and the same. People had no idea about what to do. Well, Obama had said, we're going to be at the forefront. Then we're going to help the world to alleviate this. And this conversation stops here. If you're going to continue trying to tell us here that Trump is not at fault and Obama has fault, the conversation stops. Okay? It's that simple. Two and two is four. You're coming up with three and a half, four, four, three quarters. Hey. The fault here lies in Trump. Gentlemen, we're going to end the show here because we got to run. We'll pick it up later on. And let's play a little gossip before we go. Gentlemen, I want to thank everybody for being
Dusty
here.
Call me. I'm going to give you the vaccine, man. Tell Dusty to call me or tell him to give him the vaccine. I'm going to hook
him up. Tell you what, if you got, give everybody, do what Trump didn't do. Give the whole world a vaccine right here, Danny. Let us all have it.
You sound like a Trump supporter, Danny.
Dusty being far too kind with the sound like. Dusty, come on. Don't tell me it's a Latin thing, too, now. He sounds like he is. Doc Stanley's voicing at Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Government Network. I want to thank all the people that joined us today. And like I said, don't get no better than this, baby. There ain't no talk show in the world that comes here like this. Leave me with three thoughts. Life's most persistent and most urgent question is, what are you doing for others? That day was Dr. King's service to others, and you meant you pay for your room here on earth, Muhammad Ali. I am my brother's keeper, Roberto Clemente. And Nelson Mandela said, and my brothers come in all colors. Gentlemen, an honor, a pleasure. We'll be back next week. Dr. Danny's Sports at Blog Talk Radio on the Trust in God Radio Network. Gentlemen, good night.
God
Sam
man.
Cooke sings a song that Everly, we thought in 1964 would be happening now. It ain't. Damn it, we ain't still waiting. I said he's supposed to be Blog Talk Radio.
I was born by the river in a little tent. Oh, and just like the river, I've been running ever since. It's been a long time coming, but I know change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. I go to the movie and I go downtown. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. Then I go to my brother and I say, brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. But I know change gon' come. Oh, yes it will.
All of great hits that he produced and brought to the world. And, wow, been missed sorely. He was at the Ali Liston fight for the most renowned and intelligent black men of our era were at that fight. Malcolm X, Ali, of course, in the ring. Sam Cooke, who had come up in the ring, and later on also in the ringside, the greatest running back of all time, Jim Brown. Ed, we finally said something about football, Jim Brown. Closing thoughts, Ed.
Well, Jim Brown was phenomenal. And also, I love Jim Brown in the movies as a kid. But I'm going to ask you something real quick. On April 8th, 1974, what happened? April 8th, 1974.
Baseball, football, what sport? What's that?
Baseball. It was
give
baseball.
Me a team and a place.
Big moment in baseball.
Oh, when? 1974?
Hank Aaron.
Yeah, it's 7-15.
1974, April 8th. Hank Aaron.
Number 7-15.
Okay, you got it. All right.
Number 7-15.
So
and Hank talked about that, you know, you know what? Know what they said, Ed? He saved all of the hate mail that he received at that time.
Yeah. They wanted to kill him. They didn't want to break.
Yeah. He still has all the letters.
Yeah.
He said, "Hold on, I got somebody coming in real quick before we go. I got Did you jump shot?"
I'm still here. Hey, guys.
Okay, real quickly, bow out. I mean, your thoughts on Cam Newton going to New England?
Well, as a New Yorker and as a Jet and Giant fan, I don't know how happy about that I am. But I'm happy for Cam that there's a opportunity out there. You know, once again, it doesn't make a difference what you've done for your franchise. I mean, obviously, financially, he's fine. But, you know, he is the one. If you can name another quarterback that played for the Carolina Panthers that won the MVP, took the team to the Super Bowl.
Hey, jump shot, listen, man, you're talking to the choir. I said he was the face of the franchise, took him to the Super Bowl, made them
Carolina
a contender, had nobody to throw the ball to outside of his tight end, brought another dimension to the offense, which they say is going to be a big plus factor when he gets to New England, able to run the football. Hey, you don't have to preach the positives of him to me. In fact, next week I'm going to have a gentleman from down in North Carolina to join us on the show because we were both talking about where was Cam going to go. And now we know where he's gone. And for Jet fans, that's not a good thing. But then again, hey, things happen.
The challenge is, Doc, as I learned from you and others, is that, first of all, why should he have been released in the first place? That's the first thing.
Yeah.
Because Carolina is still in influx right now. Secondly, if he got released, why did it take so long? I mean, why weren't there at least two or three teams knocking at his door?
I jump shot. I think it is about questions. There was some shenanigans going on here. It's without question, you know. And we have to wonder how much did the Black Lives Matter movement be a initiative or positive in this happening? I mean, and then you know, Carolina turns around and say, well, we got rid of Cam, but we brought in Bridgewater. You know, but that's the bullshit they always run. You know, what's that great line that Malcolm said? They'll get one of us to kill one of us to make it look like one of us. So in that situation there, I thought Bridgewater never should have left Minnesota. I mean, how did he be the franchise quarterback there and get hurt and leave Minnesota? You know what I mean?
Well,
but then I got to close the show today.
Well,
go ahead. Last thought, jump shot.
He could have been a franchise quarterback with the Jets. But, you know, hey, this is New York. It's a Northern Confederacy. So it is what it is.
Yeah, well, it's all the things change, they remain the same. Nothing's basically changed here. What's been systematically interjected is still there. It's two things. As Don King says, only in America, and the great song from Earth, Wind, and Fire, that's the way of the world. Gentlemen, got to run. We'll be back next week.
Jump Shot Jonesy, NFL Ed. On behalf of everybody here in Sports and Death, we say God bless you all. Trust and blood. And good night. Gentlemen, we'll talk next Sunday. Thanks a million.
Okay. Thanks, Doc. Have a good night.
Oh, been a pleasure, baby. Little silence there. Little gospel tune for a Sunday. No, what we're going to do, we're going to, Larry Hodges is going to close us out. And then we're going to, maybe I'll try with that gospel song by Sam Cooke. Hope you enjoyed the show. Very interesting, as we always try to bring them to you. Good insights, good in-depth knowledge, and intellect of the sports posse way beyond just that of sports. And I think you saw that and you heard that. Sam Cooke, Change Is Going to Come. And now we close out with, let me see, I can do one more thing for you. I can get here real quickly before we run. We got Larry Hardesty. Larry, bring us it out, baby.
Hi, I'm Larry Hardesty from ESPN New York 98.7 FM. Did you enjoy the show? It was outstanding. But I expect that from the legendary Doc Stanley. Nothing less than the best. As he always says to me, and it's my favorite saying from him, live your life today as if you have to stand before God tomorrow. Words to live by. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great night. And we'll see you next time on Sports in Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley.
Sports in Depth with Dr. Emily Stanley Jr., Dusty. Jump Shot Jonesy, and renowned author Gerard on, along with NFL Ed. Join Doc on this segment with SID, an in-depth informative, educational, and historical look at the world of sports on his renowned and legendary award-winning radio show, Sports in Depth. Diversity from both a daily and historical perspective, bringing also both an in-depth look, perspective not only on the sports of our times, but two players and performers of the venues today and yesterday. Sports in Depth, a.k.a. SID, also brings us a unique strategy of sports from an intellectual perspective, not just athletics, because it takes now talent and conditioning. It too takes a blessed mind, fueled with passion, determination, intellectual belief of competing, accomplishing. And with the in-depth knowledge, diverse intellect of Doc's iconic body, Sports in Depth is too, the world's in depth. Thanks for joining us again, where we always love the rumors, of that issues with brand new truth. Doc's words of written wisdom. Being together and living together can be two different situations and things. You don't ever have to explain to me for not doing what you don't want to do. I love you can be one of the biggest lies ever told, and repeatedly. You always got something going, never nothing coming. You can tell me a lot of things, but what are you really saying? Sometimes your methods of saving time, racing time. Doc Stanley's words of wit, wisdom, and truth. Big, here's Luigi's words of wealth. With that, we end the show. At the King, life goes resist depression. What are you doing, brother? Muhammad Ali, service others, and let you pay your room on earth. Brother Clemente, I am my brother's keeper. Mr. Mandela dovetails it with my brothers come in all colors. Doc Stanley, Sports Net, Block Attack Radio, and Trust and God Radio Network. I said, be safe in the bottom of my heart. I bless you all. Bless in God.
I was walking down the street in a little old country town. I saw a rusty penny half buried in the ground. As I reached down to pick it up, I saw beneath the rust these words just barely visible, in God we trust. I held it for a moment. Then suddenly I knew what God, in all his wisdom, would have me say and do. He used this worthless penny to make me understand that life is not worth living without the Master's hand. Oh, in God we trust. In God we trust. We're lost just like this penny, unless in God we trust. And then I heard a still small voice within me whisper, very clear, "Be still and know that I am God, and I'm always near. When all your dreams come tumbling down around you in the dust, remember this lost penny and place in me your trust." Oh, in God we trust. In God we trust. We're lost just like this penny, unless in God we trust.